All right, joining us now, she covers the Utes for KSLSports.com, and she jumps on with us on Fridays. Not to mention, she does a little thing called the Saturday Show on Saturdays. The one and only Michelle Bodkin. What's up, Michelle?
Oh, you know, just enjoying kind of a gloomy Friday, but we're still enjoying it.
Things are slowing down a little bit. I know baseball's picking up. I know softball's picking up for Utah Athletics. But there was still basketball news this week with Chris Burgess leaving. DeMarlo Slocum has left, even though I haven't seen that finalized. Maybe I just missed it. But where is the Utah basketball program after what has transpired this week?
I think things look a little dire for them at the moment. You have five open roster spots, obviously. Along with the Burgess news, we had Kaeba Kata enter the transfer portal. I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, only two transfers in and several out, including some of the guys that you really wanted to, needed to keep. So, and then you add the coaching exits, and it does. It feels a little bleak. Craig Smith has his work cut out for him. He has a lot of things he needs to figure out now, between filling two assistant coach spots and bringing in guys that can replace the talent that's left the building. Can he do it? I don't know. But time's certainly ticking. He's on the clock. Something's got to give. Things have to start happening for this program. And we'll just kind of see what, if anything, Craig Smith can pull together to make Utah basketball respectable when they move to the Big 12.
Do you have any idea why Utah was not able to retain Chris Burgess?
I think at the end of the day, money and probably job security is what it comes down to. I do think, you know, there's maybe some rumblings that the current coaching staff is kind of on the hot seat. I think this year's kind of do or die. You make the tournament or we'll probably start looking to find someone else to give this a go. And not that I think everything is entirely this coaching staff's fault. I think they were handed a pretty raw deal, kind of straddling the old way of doing things and now having to deal with NIL and figuring that out. And of course, Utah Athletics has been having to figure out how to get NIL up and going for them, at least as it currently runs. There's just been a lot of challenges all the way around. It's quite frankly not a good time to not be good at especially football or men's basketball. And I think BYU understands a little bit the football end of it. It's tough to play catch up on that if you're not already kind of rolling established and good. And Utah is seeing that, I think, on the basketball end of things. So I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. And like I said, it's kind of either sink or swim at this point in time.
So what I read from a lot of this, Michelle, is that they didn't give Chris Burgess enough money to stick around. They didn't give DeMarlo Slocum enough money to stick around. They're not paying these players to stick around because whereas some guys, and we've even seen at BYU, enter the transfer portal and it's just like, well, I'm actually just doing this as a negotiating tactic. And maybe Kaeba Kata comes back to Utah, but Davon Smith doesn't seem like there's any chance he's coming back. Raleigh Wooster's already gone. Like, it just seems like there's no investment in this program either, which screams to me not that there's not interest, but there's a lack of belief that it's worth investing in with this coaching staff. Am I crazy for feeling that way?
I don't think you're entirely crazy for feeling that way. I will say, I think people are forgetting that there's a lot of things that Utah's having to think about and deal with. And so as much as I know it kills fans to hear this, basketball may not be the priority at the moment. And one example I'll give out is the athletic department is now in the process of having to hire broadcast talent, in-house broadcast talent, because the Pac-12 network has gone away. They're also in the process of having to figure out how to build their own broadcast studio. There's things like that that are also on the docket that they're having to think about, that they're having to allocate money for. And it sucks. I get that, you know, a lot of fans, a lot of the old school fans, their fandom stems from great basketball. And so to see that program kind of wither at the moment is a tough call. but there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of moving parts. There's places where money has to be allocated to, and those things I mentioned, those are not cheap things. So it's a bummer. It's a bummer, but it may be a case that Utah basketball has to be put on the back burner because you're not taking anything from a football team that's really rolling, right? I mean, that would just be stupid, especially since that's the thing that kind of is driving everything that we're seeing in college athletics at the moment anyway. So, I think one way or another, whether it's that, whether it's they don't want to invest in this current staff, I think there is something to the idea that right now basketball just is not the priority for Utah athletics.
Michelle, now that spring football is well in the rearview mirror, and you've had a while to kind of crunch on it, what are some of the main things you're taking from this year in spring?
You know, I think this team is really, really deep. I think that's the thing that's really kind of floored me, impressed me, and I knew that, but having Kyle Ireland ask me to put together a 2025 possible draft picks article and kind of really go through the roster and look at who has to leave and then who potentially could leave with a good year. There are a lot of names on that list. This is a deep, deep roster. And so I think, you know, that bodes well for them. Hopefully the injuries stay at bay. It feels like kind of going back and listening to some of the audio I collected over spring from the coaching staff, that they're very pleased at where they're at. And now it's just a matter of filling in, not necessarily for depth, but just to bring in better talent, like talent that could take them to that next level. That's really what they're looking for. And so, you know, that's another thing I know fans have been a little bit antsy about. Why aren't we seeing transfers in? This is driving me crazy. This should be an obvious thing. Well, I don't think they're in a rush to fill spots. They want to take the absolute best talent available and bring it into the program.
Michelle, this might be a little more inside baseball than things we usually talk about, but Utah is switching from Learfield to JMI Sports. Do you know what effect that's going to have?
You know, at this point in time, I don't really know what effect that's going to have, and I'm not entirely sure what prompted that move either at this point in time. It just could be it's time for a change, and sometimes you need to have a shakeup in order to move forward. And we've seen that a lot of times with Utah athletics. It feels like they're just very strategic in the way that they move. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us or it's a surprise to us, but it ultimately ends up working out for them. So I'm curious to see what changes happen under JMI versus Learfield, who they've used, I think, since they've been in the Pac-12. But it's a very interesting time for Utah athletics. Like I said, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of changes happening that I don't think people necessarily realize are actually happening.
Any thoughts to the end of the Red Rock season in gymnastics? And I watched, got my daughters and we watched the final, and what a heartbreaker in that last rotation, just leading going in. And that was too bad. They came up a little short.
Yeah, you know, I think that stings, right? You always hope and you always want your team to win. But at the end of the day, those girls went through a lot more than I think most people realize. It was a tough year. It was a really tough year. They had a lot of things thrown their way that honestly should not have been thrown their way. And for them to stick together and really galvanize and make a run at it the way that they did, I think is really impressive. I think it speaks to the character of those athletes. I think it speaks to the character of the remaining coaching staff after Tom Farden was ousted. And I think it speaks to what Carly Dockendorf is going to be able to bring to the program as the head coach. There's a lot of work ahead, in order to kind of continue pushing this thing forward. But I think fans should feel hopeful and pleased with the result.
Michelle, you rock. We hear there's a very exciting edition of the Saturday show coming up tomorrow. All women on the Saturday show tomorrow?
All women on the Saturday show tomorrow. And then we have two guests coming on. So it'll be fun.
Wow. All right. We'll be tuned in, Michelle. Thank you very
much. Michelle.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Michelle Botkin.